You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Here we are. We've taught on God does want to bless you. But, you know, God doesn't bless you like a magic wand. God blesses you through wisdom that He gives you. There's no secret that the richest man in the Bible was the wisest man in the Bible. And actually, that's what he asked for. He didn't ask for riches. Solomon asked for wisdom. God gave him wisdom, and through the wisdom that God gave him, he began to prosper. I think many of us are in that fix. You know, we fall on hard times, and that happens. Nothing wrong with falling on hard times. Nothing wrong with being poor. Nothing wrong with being down. I think there's something wrong with not trying to get out of that mess. There's definitely something wrong with trying to stay there. You're not in sin because you're poor. You're not in sin because you've been hit financially or whatever the case may be. But I think it does become sin when we don't try to get out of the mess we're in. We help a lot of people in the food bank, and we help people that fall on hard times. I fall on hard times. Anybody want to join the club and say, yes, me too, it's happened? Sure. We've been sucker punched. You know, things happen in life. But you don't wallow in it. Wallow is an East Texas word for whining, you know. What you want to do is get out of that mess. See, Jesus didn't say leave the poor poor. He said give to the poor. Let's get them out of their poverty. And if you're there, let's do what we can to get out of that. I mean, yes, pray that God helps us, but, you know, let's pray that God gives us wisdom. Not in every case, but in a lot of cases, sometimes we're our own worst enemy. It's not necessarily the amount of money, it's the management of the money. We don't necessarily need God to give us a financial miracle. We need God to give us some wisdom. You know, Lord, how to do this better, how to handle this better. And all through the Scripture, you see these things. In fact, one out of every 10 Scripture in the New Testament had something to do with finances. Did you know that? 16 out of 38 parables had directly dealt with finances. There's more in the Bible on finances than heaven, hell, prayer, and faith all put together. Now, does that mean it's more important? Of course not. There's nothing more important than heaven and your faith in God. But He knows we deal with it. That's the point I'm making. God knows we all deal with money. You can't, you know, you get saved and you're a Christian, you still have to deal with money. And most of our dealings with people outside the church that don't know Jesus are generally money matters, whether it's a work situation or a buying and selling situation. And we need a good report of those that are out. We are Christians. We should pay our bills. We shouldn't be filing bankruptcy. If you have, God forgives you. Are you catching what I'm saying? But we should ask God to help us get out of that, not have to do that. We ought to be people of integrity, people that work on jobs and show up on time and put in a good day's work. Are you with me? Yeah, we talk about Jesus, sure, but we don't cost the company talking about Jesus. We show our faith many times by how hard we work and how dependable we are.
Yes.
Got one yes on that, and that's because Mike's on the front row and he knows I'll get him.
But,
these are biblical principles. Work is God's number one way of prospering you. In fact, the Bible tells us if you don't, a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. It also says that a man doesn't provide for his own household is denied the faith. It's worse than an infidel. So God puts a lot of stock in that. Most people that are Christians in a church have jobs, work on jobs. We tend to think of the pastor as being the spiritual superstar. And yes, I am.
Wow.
No. No, no. Come on. Come on. We're all in this together. We all make this happen. You know, I'm working doing this, you're working doing what you do, and all of us together make this thing happen.
Yes.
See, but that's spiritual for you to work on a job. That's a spiritual thing to do, to provide for your household, to have, to give to him that needs, to bring money in, tithes and off. My goodness, that's wonderful. Thank God for your job. That's a ministry. Thank God you have work. Work was not a curse. What was cursed in the fall of Adam was the productivity of the work. Cursed is the ground, he said, for your sakes. It will grow thorns and thistles. It didn't say that, you know, work was cursed. He had a job before the fall. He took care of the garden. He dressed it. He tilled it. Kept it. He's just supposed to stay away from that mango tree.
That's right. Amen.
Man eat, man go. You know, that's what... Okay, anyway. So then we hear about finances and we think about tithes and offerings. And that's true. I'm going to get into that. In fact, starting next week, we'll start teaching on tithes and offerings out of the Bible. But the Bible has so much more to say about your money than just the tithes and offerings. It talks about budgeting and saving, borrowing and co-signing. We've talked about these things. Some things He says to do, some things He says not to do. Not a sin to borrow because He tells you to lend to those that have need. So He wouldn't tell you to put somebody into sin. But it's not His best. When the Bible says that you'll lend and not borrow, that was talking about a blessing. That wasn't a command to not borrow. That was Deuteronomy the 28th chapter. He's talking about the blessing of God would come upon you. You'd be blessed in the storehouse, in the field, and fruit of your body, the fruit of your kind, the flock of your sheep, your fields. He'll cause the rain to come down your land in its season. You're blessed coming in and going out, and He'll command the blessing upon you, and you'll lend to many nations and shall not borrow. He was talking about the blessing on you. He wasn't saying it was a sin to borrow. Borrowing makes good sense in many cases, say, as opposed to renting. Come on, you're paying payments on something you own instead of just renting. Renting is all we can do at some point in our life, and that's fine. But we should believe God to get out of renting and get into paying for a house, and then believe God to get our house paid for. Got a little more amens on that. So it's not a sin to borrow. That's not what he's saying. But now he does tell us not to co-sign. And I understand that if it's your child, your family, you're willing to pay the thing, that's fine. But you need to understand if you're co-signing for someone, you're loaning them that money, and that bank is loaning you that money. Yeah. That's just the way it is. And many co-signers wind up paying off if you've ever been in that situation. So you're not helping someone by co-signing for them. If it's your child and you're trying to help them with credit, that's fine. But the Bible very plainly says, he that co-signs is not wise. Proverbs, many scriptures in Proverbs about a surety or a guarantee. That's a King James word for co-sign. And it says, it just says don't do it. It literally says you're a fool. It says that in many cases. And so, you know, there's some wisdom from the Scripture, and that's something you can pull out on your friend when he comes and wants you to co-sign the note. So the Bible tells me not to do that. I can't do that. So get those Scriptures down, amen?
Amen.
And so saving, well, goodness gracious, nothing wrong with saving and budgeting. Goodness, God revealed through a dream, a vision that he gave, or a dream he gave to Pharaoh in the days of Joseph. Seven fat cows, seven skinny, seven fat ears of corn, seven skinny that came up out of the Nile River with no interpretation. And God exalted Joseph from prison to the palace overnight because he had the interpretation. And what was amazing, he told him what was prophetically coming upon Egypt, 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And he said, this is what you must do, you need to do. Pick out a man wise to set aside one-fifth of all the income and corn for the 7 years of plenty so you'll have to eat off of and to sell during the 7 years of famine. What he told him was a 14-year budgeting savings plan.
Amen.
I mean, we see the supernatural, the spectacular of that, but we miss the practical application of that.
Wow.
That was no more than a 14-year budgeting and savings plan, setting aside a fifth for that famine that was coming. And so how many of you know they survived that 7 years of famine? Not only did Egypt survive, but the whole nation of Israel after the second year came in and was spared because of the wisdom, although it came through a vision or a dream, but the wisdom of practically budgeting and savings.
Yes.
The whole nation did that. So budgets work. Budgets just telling your money where to go as opposed to wondering where it went. That's all it is. You know, it's having a little more control over what happens. But today I want to talk about investing. Out of the Bible, what the Bible says. In fact, the words of Jesus, what Jesus said about that. And I think investing is a scriptural, biblical thing to do. I know sometimes we'll get to thinking in a kind of a false spirituality or a false faith. Well, God's going to take care of me. I don't need to save, or I don't need to set back. Well, actually, that's not true. God will take care of you as you set back and save. God will take care of you as you do what you can do. Now, maybe you're in a position where you can't. I believe God will do what you can't do. But God's not going to do what you can do. Not when he tells you what to do. Not when he tells you plainly that you should get ready, get ready, get ready. I hate to throw this one on you. Y'all are getting older. I mean, just to, you know, just might want to write that down somewhere, you know. At the years are just rocking on, okay? They are. They don't stop. They stop for no man. They just keep going. They keep going. You get older. You get older. And people today are living much longer than they used to. We need to keep that in mind. Remember that. And we need to prepare for that. We need to get ready for that. Now, we need a tithe and we need to give. And I'm going to teach on that. In fact, I always say that for last because everybody thinks that's all we talk about in church when we talk about money. We've been teaching for weeks on this. We haven't even talked about tithes and offerings yet. But the Bible does address that, and we will address that. Along with tithes and offerings, you should be setting something back. You should be... Because it's when you're talking to young people, that's hard to get through young people's heads. I've been young, I know. I still am. I'm really young. But you get older, You get older and you need to set money back. You say, well, we took nothing, brought nothing in this world, 1 Timothy 6:7 says, and it's certain that we will take nothing out. No, that's true. You can't take anything out, but you can leave a whole bunch here when you leave.
Amen.
Do you know what Proverbs 13:22 says? It says a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Wow. A wise man. So maybe you got enough to just eke out, but you know, you ought to leave something when you go. Bless your children. Bless your grandchildren. If you don't have any, just bless the church, you know. And I'm not trying to get your money. Stay with me. I'm not. I know there's a lot of programs along those lines where you will things to the church. That's your business. You make that choice. You need to take care of your family first. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so Luke, we're talking about investments. Investment's real simple. That's just, you know, investment is just something that you put money into that you're going to make money with, that you're going to sell. Now, if you go out and get a car, that's not an investment. I mean, you need a car, and that's good. Nothing wrong with that. We ought to have a car. But it's not necessarily an investment unless you're buying a classic car and you're going to resell it for more money. I mean, that would be the only way you could call that investment. And that jewelry you're hanging on your ear, that's not an investment, although you told your husband that when you bought that, and it was a great line, and oh, these diamonds are worth a lot of money, and look how pretty they are on my ears, and I made this great investment with these ears. Well, you know, okay, they look good, nothing wrong with wearing those diamonds, and that's fine. But if you're not going to resell it, that's not an investment.
That's true, amen.
Okay? So let's just kind of define the term there, because a lot of times we'll do that, we'll justify anything, you know? Man, that was such a great investment. I ate at Chili's last night. I just didn't.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, some things are not investments. You know, they just, if you're going to resell it, your house can be an investment. As technically it's not, but if you're not going to sell it, but it can be. If it's, you know, you can sell it, it's there for you to sell, and so that would make sense. Definitely if you're buying a house to resell, that's investment. Or you're buying a house to rent it, that's an investment. Or you're putting money in stocks, that's investment. Or buying gold to resell. You understand, making money with money, that's what an investment is. And so having understood that, then you know we're on common ground here with what investment is. Luke 19, found it? There are actually some staggering figures here. I hesitate sometimes to even share this because you have to have a calculator to even figure this out sometimes, what the Bible, some of the numbers the Bible deals with. Here in the 11th verse of the 19th chapter, Jesus speaking. You know this parable. You know, it's the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, and it's repeated here slightly different in Luke 19. Luke 19:11 says, "Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants and delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come, or occupy till I come, King James Version says. Do business, New King James says. Amplified says, buy and sell till I come. So what you're seeing here is a businessman, a nobleman, as it were, who gave money to his servants to make money with. You take this, you invest this, you buy, you trade, you whatever you want to do, but let's make money with this money. That would be an investment, is what that is. And he told them to buy and sell. Be like buying and selling stock, buying and selling cars if you're buying and selling them, you know, or whatever the case may be, or start a business and make money with the money that you invest into the business to make money with. Now, what I want to bring out here is that this is Jesus talking, and he's using an example everybody understands or should, and yet we go right past the obvious of this investment and talk about our lives, and we should produce with our lives, we should be a witness with our lives, we should take our life and make other lives with it, be a witness and win souls and so on. And that's true. I don't have a problem with that. He's talking about a spiritual truth here using a practical example. But let's don't forget the practical example. Obviously, Jesus believed in investing. He believed in buying and selling. He believed people ought to do that. And it was a good thing when they made money off of what they invested. Getting quiet in this church. I know you're thinking, man, I'm just trying to pay my bills. Well, that's fine. Let's get past that. Let's start there. Right. You may feel like, man, I'm just in the first grade. Well, that's great. No problem. Let's just don't stay there. Let's go from first grade to second grade, okay? Right. Let's start getting our bills paid. Then let's start believing God to have a little to put aside and invest.
Yes.
But if you just throw the goal away and don't even believe for it all, just say it's impossible, well, first of all, we're denying the Scripture. Obviously, it's possible. for us to save and to get ready and prepare for the future, and we should do that. Amen?
Amen.
So he says this, everybody say mina.
Mina.
Now, mina is just a denomination of coins or money that equaled 50 shekels. See, now you know how much that's worth. Okay.
Wow.
A shekel equaled 4 denarii or 4 pennies. Now, to break that down for you, a penny was a day's wages. So if you write notes, you might want to just put that down, that in the vineyard they worked for a penny a day. Jesus talked about that. Soldiers worked for a penny a day. So whatever a day's wages would be, that's a penny or denarii. In fact, if you made $100 a day, that's $500 a week. That's about $26,000 a year or something like that. That's not a huge income. But if you made $26,000 a year, that's $100 a day. A lot of people make more than that. If you made $50,000 a year, that's $200 a day. Just give you a perspective of what kind of money he's talking about here. So if you made $100 a day, that's just $26,000 a year. That would be $400 would equal a shekel. A shekel is 4 days' wages. But a mina is 50 shekels. So how much is that? 50 times $400. $20,000. Okay, that's at a very low wage. I mean, that's just at $26,000 a year. If you made more than that, then you could... I'm just giving you a perspective here, because you'll have footnotes that say everything under the sun. You'll read one Bible that says that was this much money, and another Bible says that much money. But really, bottom line is, what's the buying power? A penny's a day's wages. 4 pennies is a shekel. 50 shekels is a mina. So it was actually 200 days' wages. That's what it was. Okay. About $20,000 if you're making $100 a day. About $40,000 if you're making $200 a day. $500 a day, I want to talk to you after service.
Yes.
If you're making that, you know. So he gave him this money, minimum $20,000, to invest. Y'all see this? Each person, he gave him 10 of his servants. He delivered them 10 minas. And I believe he gave one to each. It'll play out as you read this parable. So he gave each of them around $20,000 on the low end. He might have given them $50,000 to $100,000 on the high end, depending on what an average salary would have been back then. And it says, 13th verse, he called 10 of his servants, delivered them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come, buy and sell till I come, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him. He was going to a far country, remember? And sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Didn't like him. So he came back. And so it was, 15th verse, when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading or buying and selling. Wow. Nothing wrong with buying and selling. Nothing wrong with trading. Nothing wrong with investing. In fact, God wants you to make money with the money that you have left over. It is not God's will that you put your money under the mattress. Or dig a hole out in the backyard and get you a plastic pipe and put caps on both ends and bury it back there. Are you out there? It's getting quiet in this church. I know this is just not goose pimply, Holy Ghost bumpy, but it's practical, and we need to get a hold of this. We are Christians. We are believers. You know why Jews are so prosperous? We always talk about the Jews. Oh, man, everything they touch just turns to gold. I mean, they own all the banks. They own the businesses, and, we talk about that. Those Jews, I mean, they just got a Midas touch. No, they don't. They're just obeying biblical principles, all they're doing. They're just taking this literally, where we just kind of run past it, and they're actually doing this. They're obeying these principles, so they are prospering through the wisdom that God has given them. We need to wake up. Amen?
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
So it says, 15th verse, so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much each man had gained by trading. 16th verse, then came the first saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. Woo! Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
He took on the low end $20,000 and made $200,000.
Yes.
That would be on a very low end. I mean, most likely it was more than that. 7th verse. He said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. Man, I think this is awesome too, because he says faithful. You know, the Matthew's account, which we'll get to, Matthew 25, if we have time. Depending on how much y'all help me here. We could be here all day. If y'all get involved in amen, it could go a lot quicker.
Amen.
Cheap way to get an amen, but it works. Okay.
Wow.
Over in Matthew, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You know that one? We always quote that one concerning salvation. Oh, when we get to heaven, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And I agree. I believe that's probably something like that that he will say. But he actually was talking to someone who made money.
Amen.
It's a good thing to make money off your investment. It was a good thing to be able to profit and produce and prosper. That was good. You've been faithful in a little. You've done something with what you had. You didn't just bury it in the ground somewhere. You actually tried to make something with it. Maybe you failed a time or two. Maybe the stock market crashed. Maybe nothing. Anyway, whatever. But you keep going and you keep trying to make money with what you have. You want it to increase and produce and work for you.
Amen.
It's not God's will that you just stockpile stuff. But make it work. You say, why? Well, you could help people with it. Come on.
Yes.
You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, was it 28, 29, right there, it says, let him that stole steal no more, but let him work with the hands a thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth.
Yes.
There's a concept. We're just working to put beans on the table and roof over our head and clothes on our back. But God wants us to get past that to we're working not for that, but we're working to have to give to him that needeth. Not just to be blessed, but to be a blessing.
Amen.
We've always made that, you know, our thrust and our goal and our mission in this church is to help others. We've always been, we always give to missions. We've given to missions around the world. We do outreaches. We give. We put money in the community and in people and in other people. And you know what? God has always taken care of us. We haven't made us the center of what we're doing. We hadn't made this building the center, that concrete the center out there, or the warehouse or the gym or the land. That's not, no, people's what we're about. We're helping others, and God's helping us help others.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yep.
So we want to produce. We want to want that to increase. Okay, let's go on a little further here. This helping you?
Yes.
16 verse, then came the first saying, your mina has earned 10 minas, and he said, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little. What does he call faithfulness? Faithfulness is using what you have to its fullest potential.
Amen.
Using what you have and producing with it, making money with it. That's being faithful with what you have. I'd say unfaithfulness would be doing nothing with what you have. I lost all my amens on that one, but anyway. And we all been there. I'm not got no stones to throw. I'm just trying to wake us up. You know what?
Yes.
There are ways we can prosper, but we're going to have to do something. It's not just praying and asking God to bless us. It's praying and asking God to give us wisdom and doing something with it.
Amen.
The end of all knowledge is action. So we got to do something. We got to step out there. We got to do something. You may say, well, I'm just afraid to invest. Hey, we're going to get to that in a minute. I didn't write this. Are you with me? I did not write this. And I know there are many of us probably just trying to get by. So you understand this may be a goal for you. Maybe something for you to believe for. Not to be condemned by where you are. But let's get out of where you are and let's get to the point where we can start investing and start saving, because that's God's will. That's what God tells us to do. We should leave an inheritance to our children's children. And, you know, all through the Scripture, it's the wise thing to do.
Amen.
You're getting older. Don't say that negatively. Not making a bad prophecy. But you just write it down and see if that prophecy doesn't come to pass, okay?
Wow.
Yeah. So he says, well done, good and faithful servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. Second came and said, Master, your mina has gained 5 minas. So he made 5 times. He made $100,000 off his 20. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came saying, Master, here's your mina. I mean, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief and didn't do a thing with it. Now, I know the spiritual interpretation of all this, and we've taught that, and you understand that, that you have Jesus in you. God forbid you put him in a handkerchief and wrap him up and bury him. You need to go out and take that gift and that talent of Jesus in your life and produce others with that talent and that gift Amen. You need to go out and you need to share your faith. You don't need to hide your faith. You don't need to put your light under a candlestick. Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm going to let it shine. You know the song. Come on. And so that's definitely a spiritual aspect. And that's what Jesus was saying here, spiritually speaking. But he used a very practical example that everybody could understand and agreed with. It was good to go out and make money with money. It was wrong not to make money with money. It's wrong to just sit on money and not invest it and not do something with it, not try to make money with it. It's wrong for you to be able to do something, not go out and do it. Did you know that? We believe that people that come into the food ministry, if they're able to work, ought to go get a job.
Amen.
Yes. We'll help them, but we encourage them to go to work, get a job, and get on their own two feet. I mean, that's what, and I know everybody that comes in can't do that. Some people are retired and can't. We understand that. Are you with me? But we're not obligated as a church to help people that are able to help themselves. Well, it's getting quiet in here.
Amen.
That's why we have an interview process, and we want to help people that need help. And you know, but sometimes people need to get up, and they need to go to work, and they need to... You know, sometimes we have to tell people, you know, we've helped you, all we're going to help you, you've had plenty of time, you're very able to go to work, you haven't done so, we're done.
Amen.
We've done that. That's so cruel. No, that's not. That is the best thing we could do. Because all we're doing is enabling their laziness and slothfulness. We're not helping them at all by just providing food for them when they could go to work.
Yes.
If they fall into hard times, we want to help them.
Yes.
And maybe they're on fixed incomes and retired and can't work, disabled, whatever. We're going to keep helping people like that. But we're not here to help people that can help themselves. Y'all still love me?
Yes.
You got to. You don't have a choice. Yeah? Okay. So, I just love these services like this. I'm telling you, y'all just stir me up. Y'all, settle down. Let me finish. I know you're excited. Woo! So this guy comes and he says, I put it away in a handkerchief. Well, you know he's happy about that. 21st verse. For I feared you. Whoa. Because you are an austere man. You collect where you do not deposit and you reap where you do not sow. Wow. Well, first of all, he had a wrong concept of his master, didn't he? I think we do too.
Yes.
God's a hard God. No, he's not. He's a loving God. He's not a hard God. Well, I'm afraid to step out. No, you need to step out. Well, I'm afraid to invest. Well, no, you know, well, see, that's why you don't make any money, because you're afraid.
Yep.
Well, I'm afraid to start a business. Whoa. See, I'm afraid to go with that job interview. See, fear will keep you from prospering.
That's right.
It'll keep you from getting a job. It'll keep you from making money. It'll keep you from investing. It'll keep you from going to the next level.
Yes.
Well, man, I did that one time and it all fell apart. Well, I might have done it 10 times. I don't know. But the Bible says it works if you keep doing it.
Yes.
You can't give up. You got to get back on that horse.
Yep. Amen.
Don't you let that horse take you back to the barn. You get on that horse and you ride that horse. Are you out there?
Amen.
The Bible addresses fear all through the Scripture. I mean, it has a lot to say about it. And here, it was definitely fear that kept this man from prospering. And also, it was his words. Well, man, I never can make it. I can't make any money. Every time I try, it never does work. I've never made anything work. Well, you know what? You are destroying yourself with your words.
That's right.
You're letting your fear determine your destiny.
That's right.
You're letting your fear keep you from investing and prospering and making money. Because maybe you've had some failures. Well, hey, who hadn't? Join the club. But God wants us to invest, and He wants us to, you know, have retirement savings. He wants us to make money, have money make money.
That's right.
Notice this next verse. Very revealing. And He said to him, 22nd verse, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. Out of your own mouth I will judge you. Now, I'm just getting real quiet in here now, because now we're getting personal now.
Amen.
How many of you have said that? Come on, don't raise your hands. I mean, I've done it too. I just can't get this right. I can't do this. I can't make it. I guess I'll never have anything. Whoa. Out of your own mouth, I will judge you. Out of your own mouth. I didn't say that. That's what Jesus said. Is that in your Bible? Okay, so we're going to have to get our mouth lined up with God's Word.
That's right.
This is not God's will that I go under like this. God wants me to make it. So I'm going to start doing everything I can to make it. Ask God to give me wisdom to make it and to invest and to, you know, to save or whatever the case may be for the future. I can do it. Oh, man, I tried that. It didn't work. Yes, it does. You just quit working it. Budgets don't work. Yes, they do. You just quit working it. Hello. Amen. You have to say, you know, the Bible says that, and I believe the Bible. Maybe I hadn't had a success at this. Maybe I hadn't been good. Maybe I quit too soon, but I'm getting back in here. I'm going to do this because God said I can do it.
That's right. Amen.
And since God says I can do it, I can do it.
That's right.
God's a good God, not a bad God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
And I can make it. I'm not going to go under with this economy. I'm not going to go under no matter who's in power or who's voted in or out. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. I'm going to tell you, it's who's in the throne. That's what matters.
Yes.
My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack for any good thing. I've been young, I've been old. I'm just quoting now. Okay, I've been young and I've been old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed out begging bread. He is ever merciful and he lendeth. His seed is mighty upon the earth. Hallelujah. Let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them continually say, let the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants.
Amen.
He daily loads us with his benefits. The blessing of the Lord it maketh rich and he adds no sorrow with it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. I don't know who's in power on the government. I don't know who's going to be the next president, the next senator, the next congressman, the next. And I believe we ought to get involved and vote our conscience and vote the word. But I know this, no matter who's in power or not in power, God is still on the throne. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And if I obey his word and his principles, well, praise God, I'm going to prosper. Amen?
Amen.
Matthew 25, let me close this. Let's wrap this up, close it out.
Yeah.
This helping you? Now maybe you don't have any kind of savings. You should. Maybe you don't have any kind of investment. You should. I know if we're, you know, in business for ourselves, it's tough, you know. We just kind of take care of our business. We take, you know, and put money back in inventory and back in stock and whatever and don't think about the future, about us personally. But you should put some money aside. You should be investing for your future. Now this is not to beat you on the head. Are you with me? It's just something we've got to realize that time just keeps coming, and God tells us we should invest. You know, and you should, whether it's retirement or it's investment. Maybe you're not comfortable with stocks. Maybe there's gold and silver and hard money assets. There's all kinds of things. Maybe you just like to buy and sell real estate or land or houses, get in cheap and fix it up and sell it. But start believing God for ways to make money, extra money that you can set aside and invest and so on and so forth. Matthew 25. Now this is talking about the same parable, but slightly different details. 14th verse. I'll try to run through this quickly. Is this helping you?
Yes.
Amen. Okay.
Amen.
All right. Y'all going to run out on me? You going to stay with me?
Got it.
Okay. All right. Matthew 25:14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country." See the same similar parable. "Who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And he, to one he gave 5 talents. To another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. And immediately he went on a journey." Now here it's not minas a piece, but it's talents, which is a lot of money. Everybody say a lot.
A lot.
A lot of money. You know, a mina is about $20,000 on the low end. You know what a talent is? A talent is 60 minas. I'm just telling you the breakdown of the currency. You can look it up in any Bible commentary you want to. No matter what your footnotes say, that's the breakdown of the currency. You know, like a dollar is 10 dimes, and nickels 5 pennies. That's all that is. So a talent is actually 60 minas. So if a mina were $20,000, a talent would just be $1.2
million. Wow.
I told you it's staggering. And I told you, when you hear it, your mind just goes blank. You go, that's not right, preacher. I didn't. You go look it up. That's just the breakdown on the currency. Jesus was talking about here about a man with a lot of money, had a huge business that gave out lots of money to his servants to go make money with. And they had that kind of money back then. Don't think they didn't. They had a lot of money back then. They built temples out of gold. What are you talking about? Anyway, it says here, 15 verse, "And to one he gave 5 talents." Just do the math. to another two, and to another one, and to each according to his own ability. Everybody say ability.
Ability.
Well, man, I don't have $1 million. You know, but you know, hey, maybe you don't. But whatever you have, you're able to prosper with. Y'all catch that?
Yeah.
Well, I don't have $1,000. Well, that's whatever you have, each according to his ability, you do have the ability to prosper with it. Maybe you can just put 50 a month on something. I don't know. Maybe 25. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, if you put nothing, you get nothing. And if you're waiting for the million to come in, well, I'll give you a number to the food ministry over here. We'll get you some food because you're going to need it. But if you're waiting for the big money to come, you got to do with what you have. You got to take what you have and use it to the best of your, whether it's $10 or $20 or $100 or $200 or $2,000 or whatever. Wherever you are, start, do something. Amen. Amen? Amen? Don't hide it. Don't wrap it up in a napkin. You don't bury it somewhere. But we're able, whatever we had. He gave 1 10, gave 1 5, gave 1 2. Well, whatever I've got, I can do it if I'm really faithful and really pray and, you know, and do the right thing here. 16th verse, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. Whoa. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received the 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Well, that's a good message. There's a good word right there. Let's talk about your money a minute. It's not your money.
That's right.
It's the Lord's money. Everything you have is the Lord's. Now that puts it in a little different perspective, doesn't it? After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. 20th verse. So he came, he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done with money. You did good with your money. You were faithful with your money. You made money with your money. That's being faithful with your money.
Amen.
This is not a worldly seminar. This is Jesus talking here.
That's right.
To Christians, to believers.
Yeah.
We've got an idea to serve God. You've got to be poor. And that's why we're not getting the gospel around the world. Hello.
Right.
We got the government taking care of everybody. The church ought to be taking care of people.
That's right.
We got people looking to the government for help, and they ought to be looking to the church for help. Because the church hadn't done its part, because the church had been talking about poverty instead of prosperity, because the church hadn't been doing what Jesus said to do. We're not able to do anything that we need to do. We can't help the community. We're barely paying our bills.
Man, oh man. Amen.
Not supposed to be that way. Amen. We're not going to be that way. We're not that way. So it says here, 22nd verse, he also had received the 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. Faithful in investing, faithful in making money with my money, faithful in good business sense. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sowed. See, this is a lie anyway. It's not true. What he was saying. And gathering where you have not scattered seed, I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here's what you gave me. Untouched. Unblessed. I did nothing with it. I give it back to you. Well, that wasn't why God gave it to him. He gave it to him so he could do something with it. And sure, we know that Jesus is talking about your life as a Christian. Everyone, you know what? You know most why people don't love? Because they're afraid to love.
That's right.
They're afraid to make that investment, to give that love away. They're afraid it won't come back. And so they don't love.
That's it.
You know why people aren't kind and they don't forgive? They get bitter. They just, they're afraid they'll get burnt. Been burnt too many times. Had a bad relationship, you know. Hate all men. Had a bad relationship. Hate all women. Had a bad relationship with a black person, hate all black people. Had a bad situation, circumstance with a white person, hate all white people. That's where racism comes from. It comes from having failed and the fear of ever doing it again. The fear of investing again. Giving someone a little of my love. Giving someone my time. giving someone my kindness. You see, you don't invest anything where you have fear. Fear will keep you from investing money. It'll keep you from saving money. It'll keep you from budgeting money. Fear will keep you from doing that in the natural. And it'll keep you spiritually from doing things spiritually also. Fear is not a good thing. Now, the fear of the Lord's different. Fear of this kind of stuff's bad. Okay. I really am. This is my last closing. I'm going to close it out. 24th verse. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sowed, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here's, you know, there you have what is yours. But his servant answered, his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and you lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, gather where I have not scattered seed, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. That's the least we could do with extra money, is put it in the bank and just get interest off of it.
Right.
Not God's best.
Yeah.
Go ahead and put it on speakerphone, see who it is. No. I just heard that. I thought that was so cool. I was going to use that next time. You know, put it on speakerphone. Let's all talk to him. Tell him we said hi. So the 27th verse said, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received, at the very least now, back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Jesus was not a socialist.
Woo! Glory!
You don't have anything. Well, let's take all that money from that rich guy and give it to you. Just saying. Y'all read that? Jesus did believe in redistribution. He took it from people who didn't do anything what they had.
Oh my God.
And he would give it to people who did something what they had.
Amen.
Woo! Don't get mad at me. I'm just reading. Just reading this. Jesus did not believe in helping lazy people. In fact, he believed in taking their money away from them and giving it to somebody who's going to do something with it. That's what it says here. Okay. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents, for to everyone who has, more will be given. Goodness, has our government ever read this verse? I got to get off that. Okay.
Wow.
For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Okay, I got to quit on that. That's just, I'm getting too political there. That's just way too political. But what's he saying to us? Are we doing everything we can do? Are we asking God for wisdom? Are we really, really doing our part? Sometimes we're asking God to help us. And you know what? The help God gives us is wisdom and instruction. And we're going to have to provide the body, the feet, the hands. Here's what I want you to do. You do this, you'll get out of that mess you're in. That's what God does, okay? If God just drops something out of heaven every time you had a need, now thank God for miracles. I know they happen. I've had them, and I love them. But you can't live off miracles because you would be spoilt rotten on miracles. At some point, you have to become responsible and quit doing the thing that creates the need.
That's right.
You know? And that's where God wants to give us wisdom. Investing, hey, you ought to save. You ought to invest. You really ought to pray about God give you wisdom concerning that. Whether it's $10 or $20 or $50 or $100 or whether it's more, you're getting older, I'm getting older, and this is the wise thing to do. Let's make our money make money for us.
Amen.
That's what investment is.